And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, today we're going to talk about, I guess it's a brief topic, at least the title of it is, but I believe it could be the most meaningful topic that I've ever discussed, and I think it will be the most meaningful that you've ever heard about. I mean, think about it. Today we're going to discuss the lie. The lie. You know, the Bible talks about a lot of lies and exposes many lies. And it seems today that we're surrounded by lies told by liars. And of course, many of them are for your own good. I mean, as that famous line in the movie goes, you just can't handle the truth. You can't handle the truth. So our leaders must lie to you and lie and lie and keep on lying. And you know, at the very beginning, a lie was told to Adam and Eve. And it seems like the devil has just kept on lying all this time. And as human agents here on earth and as demon spirits, they just keep lying to us. And to be very honest with you, I'm sort of fed up with it. I'm fed up with it, and I just decided, you know, I need to have a down home, just a, I mean, a real, you know, back to school meeting with my good friends out there in Radio Land. We need to look at this lie. It can eat like a cancer. It can be corrosive and tear up a man's brain. And of course, once you've lost the brain, well, the rest will go very fast. In fact, the rest of your body won't mean much at all if your brain goes. I recall my older sister contracting Alzheimer's disease. And in the final stages, her memory was gone. She didn't know who I was, didn't know who anybody was. I read that one time that Ronald Reagan, who had Alzheimer's in his final stage of Alzheimer's, stood up in the living room of his home, and his wife was there, his daughter Patty was there, and others were there, and President Reagan, here's a man who always was very sharp, had a very keen mind. And he stood up and he looked around and he said, "Where am I? Where am I?" Well, he was right in the living room of his home, but he didn't know it. He couldn't tell the truth from a lie. His mind had been destroyed. Now, his mind was destroyed by some kind of a disease. And it destroyed the synapses in his brain, and finally, he just couldn't remember anything. He couldn't remember where he was. And today, we're lied to so often by our leaders, and even by our loved ones, that we don't know where we're at. Honestly, I woke up this morning, I went to the kitchen, made myself a cup of coffee, then Wanda came in and made me breakfast, made herself breakfast. We sat down and I looked at the newspaper, and till pretty soon I thought, I don't know where I'm at. The whole world has gone mad, has gone insane. Lies are told everywhere. I don't know what's true. I don't know where we're at. The lie. The lie has gotten so huge, so big. Folks, we've got to corral it. We've got to put a rope. We've got to put the bits on it. We've got to put a saddle on it. We've got to slow it down. We've got to stop it. And the only way we can stop the lie is to stop lying ourselves. And to tell others, don't lie. Please don't lie to me. I want the truth. We've got to insist on the truth being told, even by our greatest leaders. You know, Jesus, I was looking up in the Bible what he said about being true and telling lies and such, and I decided I wanted to get a quote from Jesus. You know, if I want to talk to people about something that's important, I want to know what Jesus said about it. And I immediately came upon this line, a sentence that he had said. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Think about that. I am the way. Folks, have you lost your way? Do you know where you're at? Are you surrounded by lies and liars? Do you sometimes fall to temptation and lie? Do you think, well, it doesn't matter that much? Well, you've lost your way. You need to find it again. You need to ask, where are you, Jesus? Yes, that's right. Now I can see you. Now you're coming into focus. Now I can see you clearly. You are the way. He'll lead you out of that lie. And then he said, the truth. I am the way, the truth. He is the truth. How can a human being be the truth? Well, he was. I want you to consider that, my friends. Wouldn't you be thrilled to know that somebody had said of you, what John or Jack or Tommy or Linda or Sandra, she or he is the truth. Just to say, you're the truth. Wouldn't that be thrilling to be thought of as a truth teller? As someone who can be trusted to tell the truth? And finally, Jesus said he was the life, L-I-F-E. You see, following the way and speaking the truth leads to thinking the truth. You will always know the truth. And that leads to life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, that alone should be enough for us. That's a great, that's like a stop sign out in the middle of the desert. And it tells you exactly where you're at, which way you're going, and well, you just can't go wrong. Now, Jesus followed that up when he said, "No man comes unto the Father but by me." Alexander Solzhenitsyn was known as a man of truth. He wrote the Gulag Archipelago about the concentration camps that the communist Jews had over in Soviet Russia. He spent 10 years suffering, being tormented in those prison camps. He said something that I have often pondered. He said, one word of truth outweighs the whole world. Think about that, my friends. When you're considering telling a lie, when you hear a lie told to you, instead of tolerating it, maybe we should tell the person who told us a lie or is telling us a lie, maybe we should say, wait just a minute, you're lying. And that lie is so important. It outweighs every other act that you make. It outweighs the whole world. That's what I think about people. You know, I just want a person to tell me the truth. I can handle it. And if I can't handle it, I'll go to the one who can help me to handle it. Jesus Christ, he can lift a whole load. Maybe I cannot lift it. Maybe the burden is too much to know the whole truth. Now, one word of truth outweighs the whole world. Alexander Solzhenitsyn. I want to start off with the book of Genesis here. And I'm going to work up and I want to show you the lie, how the lie can lead to death, to dishonorable circumstances. You know, Adam and Eve were put into the Garden of Eden, into paradise, really. And the Lord had told Adam and Eve, you can eat of anything here, except that one tree in the midst of the garden. You know, friends, if you could eat anything you wanted in the whole world, but there's just one thing that God said, don't eat that. If you eat that, you'll die. Would you just run right to it and eat it immediately? I think some people would. I know of people who are dying today, and you tell them, don't take those drugs. Don't smoke those cigarettes. Don't go to parties and drink too much. Don't have, you know, extramarital, premarital sex. Don't do this. Don't do that. They go right ahead and do it. It actually encourages some to be rebellious. Well, Adam and Eve, they blamed it on the serpent. And of course, the serpent was responsible. He came to them. And he told the woman, Eve, he said, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Has God really said that? Now, I don't know what he was implying there, but it sounds like he was making fun. He was mocking. Did God really say that? Well, Eve repeated what God said. She said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, ye shall not eat it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. They had unlimited sources of nourishment, I suppose. I don't know how many trees were there, but probably their entire lifetime they couldn't have got to all of them. I don't know if they have the same kind of fruit trees we have, but imagine you had every kind of tree possible. There's one tree you can't eat because if you eat of that one, you'll die. And the serpent said unto the woman, verse 4, ye shall not surely die. Ah, yeah. Ah, yes. There is the lie, isn't it? You won't die. You won't die. Yeah, he told you that. God told you that. You won't die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You can be like a god. You'll know then. You'll have the gnosis. It's what they call the Gnostic, the gnosis. You'll know. You'll know what's good and what's evil. You'll be just like God. He knows that. He knows you won't die. That's all. That's all that will happen to you. He's trying to keep you from something that's wonderful, that's delicious. Something you should have. He's a spoil sport, isn't he? Yeah. I imagine he was saying something like that. I may be stretching a little bit. Maybe I should stay right with the Bible's text. It's much better than I can say. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. She saw, hey, this is a nice looking fruit. It looks very beautiful, looks pleasant. And I've got the word of the serpent here. He said, it's going to make me wise. I'm going to know the difference between good and evil. I like to be more wise. So she took it and ate it. And then she gave it to her husband. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. So there we have it. They knew then that they were naked. They were wise, all right, in the ways of the world, weren't they? The serpent is still here, my friends. In fact, I've written a new book. It's going to be out next month. It's entitled The Holy Serpent of the Jews. Did you know that the Jews actually believe that they can pray to the devil as the serpent? They pray to the serpent. They believe the serpent, Leviathan, will be their Messiah, will uplift and raise the Jews to godhood. In fact, they believe the serpent did Adam and Eve a great favor. That's the Judaic religion. That's what the Jews teach in their religion. This was a good thing. This set Adam and Eve on the path to godhood. Wow. And so, God, of course, knew immediately that they had eaten of the tree and what had happened, and they did die. They died to the existence that God had planned for them, and they did die. Now, the Bible talks about lies, but it always seems to favor the truth. Now, I'd like for you to read with me, my friends, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. Let's go to that if we can. Now, chapter 2 begins this way. It says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him." That's King James. What it means basically is, listen to us, our brothers. We're going to talk about the coming of our Lord Jesus and about our gathering together unto him. Talking about Jesus coming again and gathering his people, the remnant. Verse 2 says, "That ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Now, he's warned them, hasn't he? He says, don't be shaken. Don't be troubled. Even if somebody says, well, you know what Paul said? Blah, blah, blah. Don't believe it, he said. Or if they say, well, we got a letter from Paul and he said this or that about Christ coming. He said, don't let anybody deceive you by any means. Boy, he's trying to tell them, isn't it? Look, they could tell, I told you about a letter. I've told them firsthand all these things, but listen, don't believe them. I'm going to tell you exactly the way it's going to happen. Don't be deceived. Now, I want to just tell you right away, friends, that I know of many Christian teachers that preach this whole chapter wrong. They do. Right after telling you don't be deceived, they go around deceiving people. Well, it's talking about the Antichrist, the son of perdition. When will he come? There's first got to be a falling away first. Now, I can't tell you how many prophecy teachers I've talked to that are out there right now telling people Jesus could come at any moment. And after Jesus has come, there's going to be a great falling away. Huh? Say what? What did it just tell you there? Except there come a falling away first. Now, there have always been fallings away. There have always been false teachers and hypocrites and liars out there. But this is going to be a special falling away, isn't it? It's what they call the great falling away. Now, at the time that Paul was talking to the Thessalonians, the church was just being built up, wasn't it? It was just growing and growing and growing. In many years to come, there would be millions of people joining the church. No, that wasn't the time for the falling away, was it? But someday there will be a great falling away. And then, after that falling away, after it's come first, the man of sin will be revealed. The son of perdition. So there's two events that got to occur before Jesus comes. When a man says to you, Jesus could come tomorrow morning, I just want to reach over and slap him. First, it says there'll be a great falling away. Okay, I understand that. And look around you today, my friends. The falling away has come. Get my new book, Pastors and Churches Gone Wild. Christianity it's down in the dumps. Not the true Christian church, of course, but the false one. Everywhere you see a church, you can't trust them. Austin, Texas has, 2 million people now? They're saying close to 2 million. Metro area, 2 million. But people say to me, Tex, what church would you recommend? And I scratch my head. Well, I tell them there's churches everywhere. There's church buildings everywhere, from First Baptist to First Presbyterian and more. Sometimes they say, I've already been at those churches. I know what they preach. I don't want to go back. I can't blame them. I don't have any name for you, then I tell them. Listen to Bible Home Church. Listen to Bible Home Church. Get together with your friends, your family. Listen to Bible Home Church. Right there on the internet. Think about that. First, there's going to be a great falling away, and then the man of sin will be revealed. And only then can Jesus come again. Has the man of sin been revealed? Do you know his name? Would you please let me know it? The son of perdition? Do you know who it is? Some people said, well, it's Stalin or Lenin. Way back in Napoleon's time, they said, yeah, it's Napoleon. Some say it's the Pope. Well, which Pope? Well, it's this Pope. Well, when this Pope dies, the next one comes. That's the Pope. Keeps changing, doesn't it? Some told me it was Kissinger. Kissinger? Gorbachev. A good friend of mine wrote a book, Gorbachev, Is He the Antichrist? You know, Bill Clinton was so wicked that I finally did an audio tape and I answered the question, is Bill Clinton the Antichrist? I concluded that no, he wasn't. But he sure did have a lot of things about him that appeared to be just like the Antichrist. Now, Dave Hunt's going to be with the Lord now. He's dead. He's a Christian writer. He's a good man. But he taught the pre-tribulation rapture. And the pre-tribulation rapture says we're going to be raptured out of here. We're going to be out before the Antichrist comes. Now, I asked Dave Hunt, I said, now, Dave, what about chapter 2, verse 2 and 3 of Thessalonians? What about the falling away first? He said, oh, that's already happened. I said, it is? He said, well, we're right on the verge of it. I said, oh, we're on the verge of it. Okay. He said, that's when you get raptured. What? Yeah, the rapture is the falling away. That's when you fall away from the earth. Oh. So that's the rapture, yes. So you think then we could be raptured any day now? He said, oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. That's the falling away. Folks, I don't think that's what it means there. I mean, that doesn't say a falling away first. It doesn't say falling away from the earth. We need to take it exactly what it means. It means, my friends, a falling away from the truth. You can go to the Hebrew and look it up, but that's what it means. A falling away from the truth. And isn't that so today? You know, I was talking to a pastor not too long ago, and he was telling me about this wonderful interfaith service he had been at. Oh, there was a Muslim imam there and Jewish rabbis and Hindu guru, and we all held hands and prayed together. It was mighty, he said. The Spirit was with us. I thought the guy'd go nuts. I said, the Spirit was with you. Oh, yes, the Spirit was with us all as we prayed. My friends, that's confusion. That's total confusion. I mean, how can you all pray? You're praying to different gods. How can you pray to different gods? You see, this can't be. God's not going to allow that. And I think you're inviting in demon spirits. Don't pray. Don't have a Buddhist or a Hindu or even a Mormon say, I'd like to pray with you. No, don't do that. Don't pray with them. I mean, that's not equal. That's not the same thing. Don't yoke yourself with unbelievers. Don't do it. Now, we've got to return to the truth. Some people say, well, how about the Jews? Could we have the Jewish religion? Now, they have the Talmud, don't they? The Babylonian Talmud. That's their book of truth. They use it. In fact, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the Supreme Court justice, who's a Jew, said that she reads the Talmud every day. It's her daily guide for living. Could it have truth in it? Could the Talmud be a book of truth? Well, apparently not. You say, oh, no, that's not true, Tex. It's a holy book. The rabbis wouldn't lie to us, and they know so much more than Christian pastors. And really? Do they? My good friend J.R. Church, he's gone on to be with the Lord, but I was in his office, and he said, Tex, how long do you think it's going to be before Jesus returns? And I said, well, I don't know. What do you think? He said, well, my good rabbi friend, Rabbi so-and-so. And I went, oh, no. He's my rabbi friend here in Oklahoma City, Rabbi so-and-so. And I don't remember the name. Doesn't matter to me. He said, Rabbi so-and-so. I said, I asked him, and he said, maybe this year. I said, the rabbi told you that, did he? He said, yes, he did. I said, well, I wouldn't listen to the rabbi. He doesn't know anything about what he's talking about. And J.R. Church almost fell off his chair. What do you mean? He's a rabbi, and he went to this yeshiva, and he went to that yeshiva, and he's such an educated man, and he's so... I said, he's an idiot. He's an idiot. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. He's a natural person. He has not been born again in spirit and in truth. Read John 3:4. You must be born again in spirit and in truth. Ah, there we go. There's the lie again. The lie. You see, you're born to be a liar. Did you know that? You're born, I should say, as a liar, but maybe not to be a liar. Because it might be that God is going to be good to you and you're going to be born again and become a truth teller. But the rabbi had to be a liar because he doesn't believe in the book that Jesus gave us, the New Testament, the New Covenant. There it is. And Jesus put it on your heart to tell the truth. It's engraved in your heart. You can't scratch it out. You can't say, I don't want that in my heart. Well, you could, but why would you want to do that? You're damning yourself if you do. The Jew is a natural man. A natural person does not receive the things of God. He may tell a few truths, but eventually he's going to come up with a real lie. In fact, one of the lies in his so-called Talmud, his holy book, which is totally apart from anything in the Bible, his holy book says that Jesus is in hell. Jesus was a blasphemer. Jesus tried to destroy the Judaic religion, and so he is rightly in hell, burning in unholy excrement. I don't even like to think about Jesus like that. I get angry about that. That's what the rabbi's conception is. That's why a rabbi is a liar. No doubt about it. But J.R. Church says, well, he's so wise. We'll talk more about the rabbis and their lies when we return in just one moment. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Hello, friends. It's Tex Mars again. You know, we have a great book. We published it. It hadn't been published for many years. I suppose the Bible says, for fear of the Jews. And you know, a lot of things don't get done for fear of the Jews. Well, I was told Textmars don't have anything to do with the book by Martin Luther, the great reformer of the Christian church. You see, he wrote a book entitled On the Jews and Their Lies. It's a great book, and I just wanted to read what Martin Luther had said about the Jews, so I tried to get the book, and I couldn't get the book because it wasn't available. Wow. Wasn't in bookstores. It wasn't at Amazon.com. I couldn't even get it from libraries, from Christian libraries. They had taken the book out. You see, the word had spread that Martin Luther, he could have been an anti-Semite. And the Jews did not want his book in the libraries, and so they took it out. And at any library that it popped up in, they would go see the librarian and say, this book is anti-Semitic. Take it out of your library. And the librarian, of course, would do it. I wanted that book. I wanted to know what Martin Luther had said, and so I finally got a copy of the book in English. And, of course, it was a book that, you know, wasn't for sale or anything, just, you know, out there from a library. And I read it, and I thought it made perfect sense. And I determined that I was going to publish it, and I did. We have the book now in our inventory. I think it's, Jerry, what is the price on the Jews and Their Lies? $20. Okay. Well, it's worth about 80, I think, I tell you, or more. On the Jews and Their Lies, a great cover, beautiful book. I wrote the foreword. I was so impressed with the book, I wrote the foreword to it. You'll like the foreword, what it says. On the Jews and Their Lies. Now, I've talked to some people, even pastors, who say, well, don't buy that book or don't, you shouldn't do that. That book is anti-Semitic. I say, oh, is it? Did you read it? Well, no, I wouldn't read that book. Well, you haven't even read it. Well, no, I wouldn't want to read that book. Then you really don't know if it's anti-Semitic or not. Well, no, but what? I think it's pretty a sorry situation to lie about a great saint of God. You know, the whole Lutheran church is named after Martin Luther. The whole denomination. And yet they do not publish, the Lutheran Publishing House, Augsburg and all the others, do not publish On the Jews and Their Lies. It's a great book. Now, let me tell you what Luther says there. You know, he explains that when he was a young man, he wanted to treat everybody. You know how you are when you're young. You know, you're full of vinegar and you just. And he was a good Christian. And, of course, he had taken a chance with his life and fought the Pope of the Catholic Church. And they sought to kill him. So there it was. The Catholics were out to kill the guy. But he kept it up. Now, one thing that Luther did was he said, you know, I wonder if the Jews have been treated fairly. I wonder if they have. And so he determined that he would become friends of the Jews. He invited rabbis and many Jews over to his house where he would converse with them about the Bible. And he did this for a number of years, and he wanted to be friends of the Jews. He even wrote a book. He wrote a book about the Jews, and he said nice things in his book about the Jews. And then one day later in his life, much later in his life, an old pastor came to see him. He said, Martin, I want to tell you something. You've been going wrong about the Jews. I know I am a Jew. And Martin said, well, where have I offended the Jews? He said, you've offended God. You have not told the truth about the Jews. Well, Martin says, well, why? What have I done? Where did I tell a lie? I have not wanted to hurt any man. He said, you didn't tell them how they could be saved. You didn't tell them their lies. They lie about Jesus. I was a Jew. I am now a Christian. I know they lie. And Martin Luther said, tell me their lies. Tell me about this. I want to know. I don't want to go against God's will. And this old Jewish Christian sat Martin Luther down, and they went over the Bible. And he told Martin what the Jews really believed. And Martin had heard of the Talmud. He had heard of the Kabbalah, but he really didn't know the extent of it. And he was told about the Talmud and how that was what they really believed, the Talmud. And so he studied the Talmud. He became an expert on the Talmud. And listen, my friends, he was a brilliant man. You can say what you want to about Martin Luther, but there was a reason he brought about the Protestant Reformation, because he was a brilliant man. And when he learned what the Jews really believed, then he went to the rabbis and said, do you believe this? And they had to admit, well, yes, we believe that. That's our Talmud. But it says horrible things about my Lord and Savior. Well, they're true.
True?
And he noticed that in everything that had to do with the Jews in the Bible, they would lie about it, the meaning of it. Especially the book of Daniel. They lied about the 70 weeks of Daniel. Why did they lie about it? Because it told about the Jews. It told the truth about the Jews. And they didn't want people to know about the Jews, and so they lied about the Bible. Well, he decided to write a book on the Jews and their lies. And, you know, he was not too many months before he died. It was as if God had given him one last task. A people who had never said anything about his whole life. Suddenly, God said, this is the truth about the Jews. And so he wrote the book on the Jews and their lies. And it all became clear to him then. He looked about him and he saw their perfidious, their terrible acts against the church. How they sought to kill the Christians. How they hated Christianity. And what a book he wrote on the Jews and their lives. I want you to have a copy of this book. Just $20 and $5 shipping and handling. A total of $25. Ask for the book on the Jews and their lies. Or just say the Jews and their lies. Or the Jewish book by Martin Luther. And we'll send it right out to you. I think you'll really appreciate it when you understand why and what Luther wrote. Think about it. One of the greatest Christians of all time, Martin Luther, wrote about the Jews. You must know about that. You've got to know about it. I want you to have this book with the foreword by me. The foreword's not so hot, but the book is, so get the book and maybe read my foreword as an afterthought. And I think you'll really be blessed. On the Jews and their lies, for $20, add $5 shipping and handling, a total of $25. Order it from Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. You can go to our website, powerofprophecy.com, and order the book on the Jews and their lives. I believe it's on the home page. You order it with your charge card or with PayPal. Get the book by Martin Luther. You can phone us, too, at any time. Toll free, 1-800-234-9673. Now let's return to our regular program. We're talking about lies. The lie. You know, the New Testament tells us a lot about the world. And it says, watch out for the snare, the trap that the world has set for us. You know, in Galatians 1:4, it discusses this present evil world. You know right away the world's evil, don't you? In 1 John 5, verse 19, it says, the whole world lies in wickedness. How much of the world? The whole world. Well, no, wait, just a minute. Now, isn't there a little piece of it? How about America? America's safe, isn't it? Well, the whole world. How about my neighborhood? How about my community? It's always been safe. It's been wonderful. What does it say there? The whole world lies in wickedness. Now, we're fixing to go into an election. Looks like Trump versus Hillary right now. Are we going to be lied to? Well, you better count on it. Well, who's going to do the lying? Well, both of them, of course. And listen to this one. You say, well, you know, I want to be friends with the world. Have you ever heard the old saying, oh, I liked old John. He never said a bad word about anybody. Or, well, you know, Samantha, she was a real sweetheart. I never heard her to say one bad word about anybody. Oh, just makes a mistake, doesn't it? Aren't they just wonderful? They never say anything bad about anybody. Maybe they're just cowards. What, have you ever thought of that? Tolerance. Maybe the tolerant person is just a big old coward. Now, I realize there are people out there that they like to pick a fight and they like to... Everything is wrong. All this person's at... I mean, their hair is wrong. They didn't brush their teeth this morning. Their dress is crooked. Their shoes are the wrong color. I don't know what... You know about these people that go around complaining. Hi, it's a beautiful day, and no, it's an ugly day. Really? Heard about the young man, you know, just come to that town to live. As he walked down the street, you know, his first day in town, there's an old man rocking on a porch on in a house, and he said, "Hey, mister, I'm new to town." The old man says, "Well, welcome." He said, "I want to know what kind of town is this?" The old man rocked and said, "Well, what kind of town did you come from?" "Oh, it's a bad place. Had a lot of criminals there. Everybody lied. It was corrupt. It was a terrible town." "Well," said the old man, "I'm afraid to tell you, but that's just the way this town is. It's just like that." And about 5 minutes later, another man came down. He asked the guy the same question. "What kind of town is this? I just got here. I'm, you know, from halfway across the country." "Well, what kind of town was it where you come from?" "Well, it's a pretty nice place. My neighbor was good. They always helped me out when I needed help. I tried to help them. The people were friendly down at the store. And so you found it a good place?" "Yeah, it was a pretty good place." "Well, that's just the kind of town this is," he said. "That's just the kind of town this is." You know, Abraham Lincoln once said that you find that wherever you're at, that place is just about what you thought it was going to be. That place is exactly what you thought it was going to be. I think about that. You know, I've lived in a number of towns here in America, in the cities. I try to find something good about everyone because, you know, you can always find bad. Try to find something good about every one of them. I don't mean that, but you know what I'm talking about, intolerance. "Well, I don't want to say anything about that church. I know that the pastor has done A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, all the way to Z, but it's still a good church. I wouldn't say anything bad about it." "Really? You'd probably even go there then, wouldn't you?" You could take tolerance, my friend, to a wrong, dead end. Well, the Bible tells us, why halt between two opinions? If one is right, then stick with it. You know, did you know that God hates people who are, well, they're just double-faced, double-minded? The Bible talks all about double-minded people. Book of James says the double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. If you're double-minded, you know, "Well, I went to a Buddhist monk one time and to his church, and it was pretty nice. It was a nice service." "Really?" "Yes, and then I went to a Mormon church and it was good too. And I went to..." "Oh, shut up. You're a hypocrite. You're mixed up. There is a truth in this world and a lie. There is a truth and a lie. Don't tell me how good the lie is. Stick with the truth." You know, here's something that's a lie today. They keep taking polls asking people, "Do you believe in heaven?" And it seems like, you know, the majority do. I read that like 90-some-odd% of people believe there's a heaven. Well, that's nice. The Bible talks about it. I believe there's a heaven too. But interestingly enough, they say that only about 30% of the people believe there's a hell. Less than one-third of the people of the United States believe there's a hell. They believe there's a heaven. Everybody believes in a heaven, but nobody seems to believe in a hell. Everyone gets a chance to go to heaven. What's the name of that Disney cartoon movie? All Dogs Go to Heaven? Something like that. Well, I guess that's what people believe. All dogs go to heaven. Well, the world does not even have a hell. A lot of people from denominations tell me that, "Oh, well, God, he wouldn't be so cruel as to send everybody to hell, or he wouldn't send anybody to hell." Oh, no. Really? The Bible says that there is an everlasting hell, and you can be sent there to be tormented forever and ever. Now, some people say, "Well, you know, that word forever and ever, that phrase, that doesn't mean forever and ever." I said, "It doesn't?" "No, it's just for a period of time." Wait just a minute, my friends. The Bible says forever and ever. And you're telling me that means just for a strict period of time. That's right. It's not forever and ever. Well, why did God say it then? Well, you know, I interpret it different. Well, you can't understand plain English. If God said that, I think he means it. Let me tell you the truth about a place called hell, my friends. In the book of Habakkuk, that's just sounding sort of strange, in the book of Habakkuk, in the Bible, it says that hell is being forever enlarged. It's forever enlarged. You know that God has teams of workers, construction people down in hell, and they're continually building it. Well, they've got a big reconstruction project going on there down there all the time. It's being enlarged because so many souls are going there. Now, that sounds terrible of me, doesn't it? Oh, well, Tex, you're consigning all these people to hell. I'm not consigning anybody. I'm just telling you where they're going. They're going to go there if they don't accept Jesus Christ. If they're not one of the remnant, they're going to go to hell. Well, not if they're good. The Bible says no man is good. No, not one. I'm not good. Well, Tex, you're pretty good. You're sweet to your wife. She's sweet to you. And your kids say you don't beat them. You're nice to them. And your employees, you know, they say you're pretty good. And, you know, well, that means I'm not going to go to hell, does it? You know, Jesus talked about those who would literally have the audacity to stand before him on judgment day and tell him why they deserve to go to heaven. Look at all the things I did in your name. Why? I cast out devils in your name. And Jesus said he would tell them, I don't know who you are. I don't even know who you are. Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. Wouldn't that be hell? Wouldn't that be hellacious? Wouldn't it be terrible? You really think you're a Christian? You cast devils out of people? He doesn't say, no, you didn't cast devils out of people. Maybe you did. For some reason, the devil said, I'm going to let that demon leave that person. I'm going to make them think they cast the devil out. I've had that happen, my friend. I've had that. A person went to see a fortune teller. One of these had as a crystal ball, you know, and can tell you the future and all that stuff. They said my husband, this woman told me my husband was a drunkard, drank too much. Couldn't stop it. He couldn't get sober. Nobody could help him. So I took him to this fortune teller. And I said, can you help him? And she said, yes, I will. And she got out her crystal ball and darkened the room. And then she began garbling some kind of a other tongues. Other language. And then she laid hands on my husband and he just shook and she said, out! And the spirit left my husband. And now he doesn't drink a drop. I said, really? That fortune teller cast a spirit out of your husband. Yes, she did. And now the only thing is my husband, he curses all the time and he smokes 3 or 4 packs of cigarettes a day. He only smoked a couple of cigarettes a day. Now he smokes 3 or 4 packs. And he curses constantly. I don't know what's wrong with the man. Oh, yeah. I do. Did you know that, friends, Bill Wilson, one of the two founders of Alcoholics Anonymous, he died when his lungs went out. In the very last meeting he went to of Alcoholics Anonymous, they brought him on stage to give him, you know, everybody, you know, stood up and shook, you know, they all clapped for him and all that stuff, and he barely made it on stage, and they were pushing behind him this big oxygen tank. And they explained that he was a smoker. And so he had smoked too much, and he had lung cancer. That's what he died of. He died of lung cancer. He smoked. He said, I've quit drinking. Yeah, I've been cured of drinking. So he just went to smoking. He died of lung cancer. Wow. This is what the devil does. See, you're lied to. You're told you're cured. You're not cured. This alcoholic wasn't cured. But I can tell you about a man who's cured. I can tell you about a man who's cured. He went to a Christian church. He told his wife, I don't believe in that church. I don't believe anything it says. I don't believe in anything about it, but I'll go with just to go with you. Now, some Christian women, that's how they get their husband to go to church with them. Just go with me, honey. Come on, go with me. If you love me, you'll go with me. This man said, okay, I love you. I'll go with you. I don't believe anything will happen there, but I'll go with you. And when the pastor unexpectedly started talking about things, addictions and things that you couldn't deal with on your own, You needed Jesus' help. Suddenly the man felt something happening in his heart. And he said to himself, why, Jesus can help me get rid of this. And when they had invitation time, he went forward. And he went to the front of the church and he said, I believe Jesus can heal me of my alcoholism. And the pastor said, well, let's pray about it. They prayed. And the man was healed. As he was leaving the church, he met a man who was, he knew was a Mason because they were from the same lodge. The same lodge. And the Mason was a deacon at that church, as it turned out. And he put out his hand and he shook my friend's hand and he said, well, now we're twice brothers. We're a brother at the lodge and we're a brother here at the church. Congratulations. And my friend said to him, oh no, I'm not a Mason anymore. I'm going to leave the lodge. I'm only a Christian now. And the Mason was shocked. Well, why do you want to leave the lodge? We're a Christian group. And my friend told him, no, no, no. No, no. Masonry is not Christianity. It's of the devil. I'm going to leave the Masons. Now, I knew about this story, you see, because this gentleman had come to see me. And he said, Tex, I have not drank one drop of liquor. I don't want to anymore. And I don't want to go back to that lodge, but I don't know why. I know it's evil there, but I can't figure out why. Would you help me to learn more about Freemasonry? Here was this Mason. He had been going to this lodge all his life, but he didn't really know anything. But he just went there and they did all these little bitty rituals and things. And he, you know, that was it. And I said, well, yes. And I have a book here to give you. And let's talk about Freemasonry and what it really means, what it stands for. And after I told him everything I knew about, not everything, but some of what I knew about Freemasonry, he said, that's it. That's why. That's why God put that spirit in my heart. God cured him of Freemasonry the same time he cured him of alcoholism. Can you believe that, my friends? He went to that church just because his wife wanted him to. And he left. He was no longer a Mason and he didn't drink anymore. Think about that. That's what God can do for a man or a woman. Now, you know, we're lied to all the time today. We're lied to. Think about it. Right now, they tell us that they had a commission, a presidential commission that was set up after 9/11. And it came out with a report. But there's 28 pages that they classify as secrets. They cannot tell you what those 28 pages say. Now, there's rumors about it. They say maybe it implicates Saudi Arabia. After all, I think 15 of the 19 guys who, supposedly the Arabs who did the 9/11 attack, were from Saudi Arabia. But 28 pages were what they call redacted. That means they keep it back. Now, people have been demanding to see those 28 pages. We want to know what those 28 pages say. We want to know. They tell us who actually did this. Who really did it? Was Israel behind it? Was Saudi Arabia behind it? Who? Was our own CIA behind it? Did Bush know about it? 28 pages are being kept from the American people. We want to see those 28 pages. Finally, the clamor to see those 28 pages got so great that this very week, Mr. Brennan, the CIA director, got up before the cameras and said, well, we don't want to release those 28 pages because they have a lot of errors in them. They have a lot of lies in them. So we can't release them. Huh? When the presidential commission met and there's 28 pages they can't give us. When we demand the 28 pages, they say they can't give us those 28 pages because there's lies in the 28 pages. So the commission listened to a bunch of lies. Now, what was that? 2002, I think. 9/11, then the report a year later. 2002, that's 14 years. They've had 14 years to come up with the truth about 9/11. They still haven't done it. We still have a bunch of lies. And 28 pages are redacted. Now we're told they're a bunch of lies. Who are we to believe? Well, you can't believe anything. Well, Bush got us into the Iraq War, and that's been 4,000 Americans dead and millions of Iraqis dead, and migrants are roaming all the world trying to find a place to live. from the Middle East. And with all that that happened there in the Middle East, in Iraq, why did we get involved in that war? Well, George Bush says, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. I thought Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. But after we conquered Iraq and lost all those lives, we found out that he didn't. Well, why are you still president? Why don't you resign? You killed all those people for nothing. Well, Bush lied. Well, he says, you know, I really didn't lie to you, but it was the intel. The intelligence on it was wrong. Well, who lied about the intelligence? Who made the mistake? Now, George Tenet was the head of the intelligence agency. He was the head of the CIA at the time. When he retired, George W. Bush had a ceremony and gave him the American Medal of Freedom. But he lied to us. Well, it was a mistake. He lied. He cost us thousands of lives. George Tenet did. This filthy, dirty liar. And if he wasn't a liar, he was so incompetent. And George Bush believed in the incompetent intelligence. Well, that's okay. Let's give him a medal for lying. That's what we do today. We gave the CIA director a medal for lying. Now we have a new CIA director, and he's saying, I can't give you these 28 pages from this report because we found out belatedly there are a bunch of lies. So the presidential commission that includes a governor, Governor Keene from New Jersey, and senators, they all lied to us? Wow. We're told that 11 million illegal immigrants in America. 11 million. Well, recently they changed it. 20 million. Now they're telling us there might be 41 million illegal immigrants in America. Hey, there could be 141 million. We'll never know. They're lying to us. Everything is a lie that they tell us. Everything is a lie. But there's one thing you can believe, my friends. We need to go back to the beginning, to the Garden of Eden. Find out who lied to Adam and Eve there. They set things going the wrong path, didn't they? Who was that? It was the serpent, wasn't it? Yeah, the serpent, the devil lied. He's a liar. And he kept lying. Remember what happened with when Cain slew Abel? He lied about it. He hid the body. He lied. He was the first murderer. And they've been lying ever since. And our own leaders, they lied to us. People wonder, I wonder if there really are UFOs. If I could just get in those government documents and find out. What do you mean? They should let them all, let us all see them. Well, you can't really handle it. You can't handle it. Oh, my goodness. We're finding every day they lied to us about World War II. How much did President Roosevelt know? Did he know that the Japanese were going to attack Pearl Harbor? Now we find out, yes, he did know in advance. Lie, lie, lie. But let's go back to the garden. The serpent lied. And his friends, today's serpent people, lie constantly. It's time we all stood up and said, no more lies. It's time we all stood up and said, I believe Jesus was right. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. If we believe that, then we would really reach out to the Jews. We would reach out to the Muslims. We would reach out to the New Agers, and we would tell them about Jesus Christ. We would save them from the lie. I'm Tex Mars. Been great being with you today. Please tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.